Hello and welcome to the programme. We're at the EU Council in Brussels, where heads of state and government have been meeting at a summit with a packed agenda. We're 2 months away from the end of the Danish presidency of the EU, and Denmark's successor, the Republic of Cyprus, is already preparing for what promises to be a challenging first half of 2026. Well, today we're hosting the Deputy Minister for European Affairs in the government of Cyprus, Marilena Rauna. Before taking on this job in January of 2024, she was director of the Diplomatic Office of the President, Nikos Christodoulides, and EU Sherpa. She's also been special advisor at the Cypriot Ministry of Foreign Affairs, focusing on EU issues and EU-Turkey relations. Welcome to Talking Europe.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
So I'm interested what your approach will be to Ukraine in your presidency, because, of course, Cyprus is not a member of NATO, so I imagine you might not be as hawkish on the Russia-related questions as, for example, the Eastern European or the Baltic states. So what kind of general approach are you going to take?
An approach of unequivocal, steadfast support to Ukraine on all fronts, political, economic, and humanitarian. The Russian aggression against Ukraine is a European question. It is a European issue. It is about defending our core principles. It is about defending international law, in particular territorial integrity, independence and sovereignty. This is particularly pertinent and important for Cyprus, a member state of the European Union that has its part of its territory under occupation by Turkey. We know firsthand what it means to have territorial sovereignty, territorial integrity and sovereignty violated. It will be a top priority for the Cyprus presidency. Look, for us, and I think across the board, this is a litmus test for the European Union. It is about our security architecture. It is about our autonomy. And so even though Cyprus is not a member state of NATO, we would have wished to be a member state of NATO. We support the cooperation based on the established framework during our presidency, both on the issue of political, economic, humanitarian support. So that's one track. Then there is the track of sanctions, both new measures but also implementation, and the very important issue of circumvention of sanctions that undermines, but also the accession negotiations for Ukraine, because enlargement is one of our priorities.
Circumvention of sanctions is crucial. As I'm sure you know, Ukrainian media in the last few months were talking about the Russian shadow fleet breaking these oil embargoes in international waters off Greece and Cyprus, and not in Cypriot waters, but close by. What's your thinking on these loopholes then?
It is certainly an issue of great concern that we need to address, the issue of the shadow fleet, and we have been doing it. Certainly we could be doing more, and we will be supportive in that direction. At the same time, we need to look at what it is that undermines this vital tool that we have at our hands, sanctions and the circumvention. And it's something that we consistently raise in Brussels, Cyprus, but also many other member states. We know who circumvents sanctions. We have an idea of how they are circumvented, and we need to be more effective and hands-on on addressing the issue of circumvention of sanctions.
There's been a whole discussion at this European Council, Minister, as you know, about how frozen Russian assets could be used or should be used. And Belgium is particularly worried about sharing the risks across the European Union. But you know the Belgian situation very well, because Cyprus itself froze 1.2 billion euros in Russian assets. So how do you see this whole question of sharing the risks across the EU in using these assets for Ukraine?
Look, I think there is broad support on the need to continue supporting Ukraine financially, to continue supporting Ukraine in its defense capabilities. And in this context, there are a number of suggestions, of proposals that are being discussed, one of which is the issue of frozen assets. In all the measures that we are discussing, the point we are making is that we need to ensure that they are legally sound and that they are financially and economically viable for member states, for all member states.
I wanted to ask you about the sort of historical links between Cyprus and Russia, because of course you did have a lot of economic joint activity until February 2022. But as late as November 2023, the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists published an investigation based on documents from Cypriot Financial Services. And this investigation talked about Russian money flowing abundantly through shell companies in Cyprus. Do you think Cyprus still has a kind of image problem in the EU based on this?
I think there is very clear evidence that Cyprus has turned completely a page in that regard. There are independent reports that verify this. We have been steadfast in our support to the 19 sanctions packages against Russia, fully supportive of Ukraine in its effort to address Russian aggression. Our economy, which is demonstrating very solid growth and stability, has done away completely with any Russian any Russian capital. Anything, we now have, for example, a very strong presence of American companies in Cyprus. And
so this Moscow on the Mediterranean epithet that was used, that's kind of not really relevant now, you think?
I think it's demonstrated by the facts that it is not relevant at all. And you know, President Christodoulidis, as soon as he assumed office a little over 2.5 years ago, he took very concrete steps in this regard, and also invited a law enforcement team from the FBI to join our teams. And all the independent reports, and also from the European Union, confirm this.
And he did declare zero tolerance on corruption as well when he came into office. We don't have a lot of time, unfortunately, but I want to ask you about the six-point plan for Gaza that your country has. What is that, just as a brief outline, and how are you going to take this forward in your EU presidency?
Well, Cyprus, this plan stems from the fact that Cyprus is a member state of the European Union that is also an integral part of the Eastern Mediterranean and the Middle East. You know, Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, we are less than 45 minutes away. We're also a member state that maintains long-standing, excellent relations with all our neighbors based on mutual trust. In this regard, when the war in Gaza started, we put forward the Cyprus Maritime Corridor, which was supported by the European Union, by the United Arab Emirates, together with our partners in the region and with Israel.
That was the humanitarian lifeline.
Yes, which is still ongoing. Yeah. And the UN spokesperson actually reported that in the month of September, 10% of all the humanitarian assistance that entered Gaza was through corridor. Now, with regards to the 20-point plan by President Trump, which we welcome and commend, we've put forward 6 points that correspond to a number of points on the 20-point plan. That's right. To facilitate and advance its implementation, because we're now in the first steps, and this is the crucial initial phase of implementation. It's three pillars that relate to these 6 points. One is humanitarian assistance, the other is reconstruction, and the third are issues of security. This is not only the Cyprus's suggestions for implementation. This is at the disposal of the European Union. President Christodoulidis presented and discussed it at the Sharm el Sheikh summit, where Cyprus was invited by the United States President and by President President Sisi. Since then, we have been in discussions with actors, including the EU, including the UAE, including the United States. And President Christodoulidis will be raising this issue also at the European Council. This is about the EU increasing its footprint in the Eastern Mediterranean and the Middle East, because it's inextricably linked with the security of the European Union, and not just security, but also its competitiveness.
We only have 2 minutes left, unfortunately, but I wanted to ask you about developments in Cyprus itself. There's a new Turkish Cypriot leader who was elected in October, a pro-European leader, Tufan Erhurman. Does this give you confidence about future peace talks and maybe even reunification?
The Turkish Cypriots chose a new leader, Mr. Erhurman. We see it as a positive development, the fact that there is a Turkish Cypriot leader now that has stated that he supports the basis for a solution as prescribed by the relevant UN Security Council resolutions for a bizonal, bicommunal federation. We are ready, even next week, to start and resume negotiations for a comprehensive settlement in line with the UN Security Council resolutions. The EU stands ready to support with all means at its disposal. This has already been stated in the European Council conclusions of April 2024. The President of the European Commission appointed a special envoy on the Cyprus question, and resumption of negotiations and progress on the Cyprus question, the European Union's last divided and under occupation member state, will be important not just for Cyprus, but also for our region. It will send a signal, a positive signal to our region, but also for the European Union itself. It's an integral part of our efforts for European unification. And it will also be very important in the context of EU-Turkey relations, on which we are ready to take steps, hand in hand with the developments on the Cyprus question.
Peace could unlock a lot of different opportunities, but we'll have to stop there. Thank you so much for
Thank
being my
so
guest.
Much.
Marilena Rauna, whose country, Cyprus, is next to hold the EU presidency. Well, in part two of Talking Europe, we focus on the snap election in the Netherlands, asking what's at stake for the Dutch and for the EU. Do stay with us.